I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9-to-5 is something that I don't wanna do. Sit in the cubicle miserable as I slave away. Getting complacent with life as my dreams fade away. Nah, motivation to go harder. I'd rather spit that real than probably die harder.
Good morning, good evening, good night, folks. This is your 5-Tool Sports Podcast host, Woody Massey, and I'm here with all of the tools today. I got Coach Brandon Lundberg.
Hey, what's up? Same boring intro for me every week. Hey, what's up?
Brandon with the personality of a cantaloupe and a face to match.
Vanilla.
Yeah, very vanilla. And everywhere.
And then we got CSPN.
Yay, yay!
The substitute. The teacher your parents warned you about.
The teacher your parents warned you about. Because I'll strap down, I don't care. Screw all these new rules they got in the classroom. I'm bringing my Switch to class, too. You heard?
Jeez.
Old school. Make the classroom great again.
Oh, God. All right, guys. So, we have reached the halfway point of the NFL season. And we got contenders and pretenders. So, we're going to talk about who's real and who's not.
Sure, because Woody, look, it's teams out there that are dressed up in contender clothing
in the Sunday best,
but they're still pretenders, you know what I'm saying? So,
I mean, the top one on everyone's mind, I think it's everyone is the same one, and they've been proving us wrong every week thus far.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone, it's a consensus because they lost their best player, and that is the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, see, that's I mean,
like, it's so crazy. Never, I don't think ever before we had the best record in the league at the halfway point be, or a little over the halfway point, excuse me, be like considered a pretender unanimously. And to start the season, Tennessee's defense was booty. It was some straight booty. But now Tennessee's defense is dead. It's fire now. You could bounce a quarter off that thing. You got Jonathan Simmons is playing at like MVP caliber defense up the middle.
Whatever.
It's unbelievable.
No, it is. It is.
Yeah, definitely Jeff Simmons. He's got, 7.5 sacks. Harold Landry, he's got 10 sacks.
Bud Dupree ain't even doing it yet.
And in the secondary, you got Kevin Byard. He's been amazing. He's got 5 interceptions. So the defense is surging.
Me and CJ talked about this in the offseason. Kevin Byard is the least heralded safety in the NFL the past 5 years. The man is tied for the lead in interceptions the last 5 seasons, I think it was. Remember when we talked about this?
Yeah.
And, like, literally, no one ever talks about him in the top list of safeties. And he, every year, shows us. Every year. Year in, year out. He's a great safety.
Yeah. And, Brandon, what do you think about Tennessee? Do you think Tennessee's for real? And don't give me no political BS.
I've got – I'll yourself. Just – I'm just going to give you my list of contenders from the AFC. I've got 4, plus I've got the dark horse, but I don't have that. I don't have a dark horse for the NFC, but we'll get there. But I've got Kansas City, Buffalo, then Tennessee, then the Ravens, and then the dark horse contender is going to be the Patriots.
You still got Kansas City as a contender, huh?
I've got them as my number one.
I'm right there with them. I don't have them as my number one, but I have Kansas City. I think Kansas City are still contenders. I mean,
they looked a lot different last week. That's sure.
Tell me, what about their formula so far this year is different? Like, outside of that offense.
The defense has been extra bad. Worse than it was
that
before.
Defense has always been extra bad. The only reason we're highlighting
it's the worst in the league, though.
The only reason we're highlighting it the way we are is because Kansas City's offense has been equally bad for, 3 out of the last 4 weeks.
The formula, since you brought that up, CJ, that I was looking at yesterday when I started writing about the contenders, all of these teams, with the exception of Tennessee, they have an MVP caliber quarterback, right? So a high level starter quarterback. Offensive line play is a key factor. All of these teams have really good offensive lines. Honestly, Kansas City, according to PFF, that they're the second highest graded offensive line. Baltimore, they have the 11th graded offensive line. Tennessee is 17th. Followed by the Bills at 18th in terms of their offensive line play. So at the end of the day, it comes down to your quarterback play, comes down to the offensive line play. And it also comes down to how well you can run the ball. So when we look at the equation here and we say what teams can run the ball the best out of this group that I just named, it would have been the Titans had Henry not gotten hurt. The Titans are still going to try to run the football to set things up. But out of this group, it's the Ravens and it's Lamar Jackson that's leading. And then if it out of the top four, it's the Ravens. But then you got the Patriots to kind of sneak up in there because they have two high level running backs right now. One of them that's kind of ascending. Damian Harris, I wouldn't say too high level, but they're very good, right? They're solid. The Chiefs run offense could get better with CEH coming back. So you could improve there. That takes some pressure off of teams trying to add that extra safety on the back half.
Can we pause there for a second? I think Darrell Williams is better than CEH for this offense.
I mean, it's just another element. You could
I've been debating this in a few of my fantasy leagues because I actually got pushback in a league where I made a trade for Travis Kelce and Darrell Williams was involved. And everyone's like, he's a rental. He's not even going to get touches anymore. I'm like, what are you talking about? He literally just mossed a cornerback in the end zone.
Sunday
Night Football. What are you talking about?
I think
he's the 16th overall fantasy back this year. And they're saying that he's just not going to touch the ball anymore.
I think Clyde is an average running back. So I don't even see. You know, that's not a bold statement by any means, in my opinion. You know, saying Darrell Williams may be better. I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire has not shown me, you know, premium ability at any one thing. You know, yeah, he can catch the ball out of the backfield.
Darrell Williams just caught 11 balls.
Right. I mean, it's.
But you have depth now. So you have two guys. Depth,
which is good. And then what we saw from that Kansas City offense this past week is. We saw them take advantage of the two high. So whether they were turning around and Patrick Mahomes was handing the ball off, or whether they were throwing a lot of screens, you know, it acts as a supplement to the running game. So Brandon pointed out Kansas City's offensive line is one of the best in the league. I'm still uncertain why they really haven't tried to use it. Because all offseason and even towards the end of last year, Andy Reid, you heard him talk about how important being able to run the ball, especially in December, is. So, I mean, look, I think Kansas City, I think I'm right there with you. I think they're legit. I know you brought up the Ravens. I do not think they're legit. Lamar Jackson's great, but he has to be Superman for him to win. I don't like that. And to me, Brandon, that's where numbers can kind of lie to us, right? Ravens, one of the best rushing attacks in the NFL. But if it's not organic, then I don't know if I trust it. It's a lot of Lamar. It's a lot of scrambling. It's a lot of read option and things with Lamar. And I get that. That's part of it. But you still have to be able to traditionally run the ball and play complementary football. And Ravens secondary is bad, as I'm sure you know. But Kansas City, Buffalo are really my only two. I agree with Patriots. They're a good dark horse, although I don't think Mac Jones is there yet. He may need another year or so, but guess what? They probably said the same thing about Tom Brady 21 years ago. So,
yeah, I wanted to point out, too, since you brought up, you know, how Kansas City was able to attack that Raiders defense. They forced the Raiders out of the two high. The Raiders are just not comfortable doing that, considering they run a lot of one high looks with man coverage or cover three.
Yeah,
they were forced out of that, which allowed the Chiefs to do what they want to do. But an important note, the Chiefs have been blitzed the least amount of any NFL team. And that's interesting because when you think about how we used to view Patrick Mahomes, people bringing that extra defender after him and leaving somebody open to him, locating the open area. But one thing Mahomes has been doing, you just pointed it out, getting the ball out quicker, taking that, you know, what's there, what the defense has given him. But they also gave him some deep shots that he didn't actually hit on. He's only hitting on 40% of those deep throws, 20 yards or more down the field. But he is throwing it a ton down the field. So once those begin to connect again, once he gets back into that rhythm, which could happen in any moment, any game, any week, that's when this Chiefs offense becomes dangerous. I think a lot of that has to do with their ability to try to run the ball more, take advantage of their opportunities in the run game. They just have to be able to do that. That's going to be a key factor down the stretch for any of these teams. All right. Can your offensive line protect and can you run the ball?
Are you ready? My list is short for the AFC. It's short. We're not going to spend much time here.
I like it.
It's Buffalo.
I like it already.
It's KC. And this is where y'all gonna get mad. My dark horse. My guy's creeping in the back.
Of course. Justin Herbert, Los Angeles Chargers or something.
Wrong. Wrong.
Okay.
It's even uglier. It's even uglier.
Oh, what Pittsburgh Steelers?
Nope.
Cleveland Browns?
Nope. Indianapolis Colts.
Okay.
No.
Let me tell you why. Top five scoring. The defense is getting better on a week-to-week process. We are still waiting for their edge rushers that they brought in this offseason, and they're getting more and more of an impact every week. This defense is starting to click in the second half of the season is what Super Bowl run defenses do. They have the best running back in the NFL, a above-average backup, and then an above-average third stringer. So they will never leave their strategy of offense. And Carson Wentz has gotten better on a week-to-week-to-week basis and healthier. If Carson Wentz remains healthy, Jonathan Taylor remains dominant, that is a recipe for Super Bowl football. The best running back plus the best defense that has led to Super Bowls.
That makes that gives them one more element better than the
And also, because I'm a conspiracy theorist, the NFL now trying out mid-season Hard Knocks. Wouldn't it be crazy if Hard Knocks followed the team to the Super Bowl? Just saying, it's on their side.
You know, that'd be pretty cool. I mean, they might get tickets. I just don't believe in Carson Wentz. I don't believe he can,
Trent Dilfer can do it,
consistency, huh?
Anyone can do it.
Yeah, but you know how I feel about picking out just one and
the outliers having the best running back, though, is it not?
That's what I just pointed out.
And a good defense. So I feel you. I just don't think Carson Wentz can get it done. Now, if he gives me Trent Dilfer, then I'll go with it. But if he doesn't give me Trent Dilfer, who, you know, they didn't ask him to do a lot. He didn't turn the ball over. I know Carson Wentz is having a good year statistically. Statistically, Carson Wentz is having a good year. And this is where numbers lie, because Carson Wentz has not looked he's been up and down. Like,
he's had some moments where he's
even in games.
See that left-handed pass?
Yeah, twice now, I think. What, in the past couple weeks?
What's his man doing?
But look, fellas, so I put together something here just because I wanted to, you know, just kind of go over the best wins, worst losses. Look, Buffalo Bills, I think we all agree we got them up there as contenders, okay? We could also argue Buffalo, they haven't necessarily proved it, though. You know, we look at them. We look at Josh Allen. We know that defense is good. Their best win this year was week five against Kansas City. That's their only good win this year. Their losses, they lost week one against Pittsburgh, 23-16. They lost week six to Tennessee, 34-31, which, you know, isn't really a bad loss. But then when you think about your defense supposed to be great and you give up 140 yards and three touchdowns to Derrick Henry, then that's alarming. And then the Kansas City Chiefs, before we ended here, Kansas City Chiefs, best wins, week one versus Cleveland, 33-29. Week 10 versus Las Vegas, 41-14. Their losses have all come against playoff teams, Baltimore, Los Angeles Chargers, Buffalo Bills, and Tennessee Titans. So maybe we're overreacting when it comes to Kansas City. Kansas City is definitely a contender, I think.
Okay.
For sure.
I mean, my list was short and sweet, so you know I'm a believer.
No, I like your call out on the Colts. I don't like Wentz as much as you do, obviously, but I think
I don't like Wentz that much, but the combination of the best run game and one of the best defenses, they get it going,
is offensive line. Exactly. They've got the offensive line. They've got the defense.
When you win in the trenches, you win in October.
Right, you don't have the elite quarterback.
January. all right, let's talk NFC here, though. Pretenders, contenders. I'm going to go my list off the top because my list is a little shorter than y'all. But NFC, it's a lot deeper. Like, it's a lot more wide open just because it's stronger at the top than the middle. Tampa,
I agree.
Dallas, my favorite because I think they're the deepest at every position. And that says a lot going up against Tampa Bay, but Tampa Bay's been hit with the injury bug after that run last year. I think Arizona, as long as Kyler Murray's healthy, but I think they're the outlier because they are relying on the smallest dude on the field to stay healthy to carry them to the Super Bowl. And I don't know if that's a winning recipe. And then Green Bay.
Maybe. Yeah, Green Bay has slowly, I mean, they've been contenders the entire year. You remember when?
Well, Vegas loves them because they've been giving out, well, the people love them because they've been giving out money all year.
You know, in week one, I think we all panicked or we all kind of overreacted because they, I mean, they got tore up by the New Orleans Saints. But since then, they've played well. And what I'm really impressed and what really has solidified Green Bay as contenders, in my opinion, is that defense. The last three games, the defense has given up a combined 34 points. Now, in those last three games, they have faced Russell Wilson, Patrick Mahomes, and Kyler Murray. I don't think that Green Bay defense is getting enough credit. They're really starting to, you know, hit their ceiling. Very, very scary. Arizona, obviously Arizona beat Green Bay a few weeks ago. Arizona, the proof is in the pudding, right? The proof, they have shown us a little bit different from what I said about Buffalo. I think Buffalo are contenders, but when you look at the body of work, I don't know if they've really shown us that. Whereas Arizona is the opposite. I think Arizona has shown us the body of work, but it's something in my gut that tells me Arizona, something tells me they're pretenders. Their best win was week one against Tennessee in a blowout, 38-13. And then they beat the Rams, 37-20. And then in week five, going to Cleveland at their place, beat them 37-14. I mean, that was a big game there. So Arizona is still a toss-up for me, but I'm going pretenders.
But that's an interesting take, CJ, because since All-Pro center Rodney Hudson has gone out, they have looked like a different team on offense.
There you go. So that's a significant loss. And I mean, not even just that. Kyler Murray's missed the last two games. DeAndre Hopkins has missed the last two games. Yeah. I don't know.
It's like I said, it depends. You're depending on the smallest dude on the field to carry your team to a Super Bowl. That's a lot. A lot of things got to go right.
And then Cliff.
Mm-hmm. And then you got to get over your coach. Yeah. There is one team I left off that list that I wanted to ask y'all about because I'm curious, especially after last night. Los Angeles Rams. Brandon, go right into it. Tell us.
Well, I was going to say my contenders, they were on my list as I was writing this last night. I wrote this out last night during the game.
I think we all have the same list for the NFC.
Yeah, I've got Cowboys first, Cardinals second, Bucks third, Rams fourth. And I didn't have a dark horse team because there really isn't one. The Packers should be, you know, considered a contender as well, but I just went with four teams, right? Mm-hmm. The Packers would take over that spot where the Rams are, obviously, after last night, but I still feel like the Rams are right there, right? So you've got four or five teams, I think, that could have that opportunity. Now, watching the Rams last night, that wasn't pretty, and we'll get into that during the review. Obviously, you know, I was saying to you during the game or before the game that, you know, running the football is going to be the key for both teams, and the Rams could not run the football. And I feel like a McVay offense just kind of abandoning the run altogether for the most part and just kind of leaning on the quarterback to make plays is exactly what the 49ers wanted them to do. And you just can't do that. I think that's what the Rams need to do. They need to kind of dig deep, you know, go back to their roots of what McVay is and don't worry that much about throwing the football, worry about setting up the throw with the run, regardless of who your running back is. If you have to run Henderson into a wall a bunch of times to get things going, you got to run Henderson into a wall. That's why you brought Sony Michel in. So I think that the Rams got to get back on track in that particular area or else they won't succeed, right? You're going to see the Cardinals take over. You may even see the 49ers keep climbing. You've got to run the football.
Hey, look, I'm right there with both of you all. I almost took the Rams off of my list, especially after last night. Man, but the Rams just have so much talent at all the spots where you need the talent at.
And it's still fusing. It's still
fusing. You got weapons on the outside.
They got to hurry.
You got a legit running game. You got a stud cornerback. You got a stud interior lineman. Now you got a stud edge rusher. You know, they have so much, but the problem lies with the Rams, their lack of depth. They're very, very thin, couple of injuries away from season really falling apart. Matthew Stafford has been a bit shaky as of late. So I'm a little worried about that. Now, the Rams' best win this year was week three against Tampa Bay. They beat Tampa Bay 34-24 in L.A. That was impressive. However, that's the only, you know, quality win that they have this year. Now, they have some losses, you know, some bad losses or some losses in games that you also thought were prove-it games. Week four versus Arizona, they got smacked. Both teams were undefeated going into that week four matchup. And again, LA got smacked. And then week nine versus Tennessee, losing 28-16 when Tennessee doesn't have Derrick Henry. And then, as you guys just mentioned, Monday night football game with the 49ers, you know, being outscored by three touchdowns. It's just a bad look for the Rams. But I'm right there with you. I think the Cowboys, I don't have them at the top of my list. I actually have Green Bay as a top contender in my list. I wanted to be biased. I want to throw Dallas up there, but, you know, I'm going to reserve all of that for later. Oh. And then Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is probably number two. They haven't looked great as of late. They've dropped their last two. They lost to the Washington football team. Look, we've seen it all before with Tom Brady. We've seen him face adversity. We've seen lulls in the middle of the season. And he's going to take that, and that's just going to become a chip on his shoulder, per usual. Tampa Bay's going to go on a run. And look, I feel like Tampa Bay is the safest bet to win the Super Bowl right now. How do you bet against Tom Brady and the defending champions with all that talent on that team? What's important is they're going to get Antonio Brown back soon, and they're going to get Rob Gronkowski back soon. And that's what really makes their offense go. And then hopefully by the time the playoffs get here, you'll get more heads back on defense and then that secondary, and you'll see that defense kind of start to turn a bit.
I agree there. Can I throw out there the biggest difference between the NFC contenders and the AFC contenders is at the quarterback position, obviously, where every single team has an MVP caliber starter, with the exception of maybe Matthew Stafford kind of on the cusp of that.
But he's on the cusp. That's the thing.
He's right there.
He's against the wall at the back of the party.
Yeah, he could climb right back into it next week. And to touch on the Cowboys real fast, I know we're going to talk about them. I want to throw out there, they have all of the pieces, man. They have all of the pieces. The offensive line, NFL's top graded offensive line, according to PFF right now.
Two great running backs.
Yes, they've got it, right? They can outscore their opponents when they're in a shootout if they need to. And the defense is opportunistic. The turnovers, that's their biggest opportunity.
Turning into a top 10 wide receiver.
They're getting after the quarterback. And they're forcing turnovers, which what does that do? That puts the ball right back in Dak Prescott's hands.
That's crazy. Yeah. I feel like my phone's bugged, Brandon, because those are basically the exact notes that I had in here for Dallas. Most complete offense. They can spread you out, but they can also maul you, just like you said. And then the defense has been somewhat inconsistent, but just as you alluded to, they force turnovers to get to the quarterback.
Statistically, they're not. I was going through, I'm looking at the grades, and PFF grades, they're very similar to last year still. They don't tackle as well, even though it looks like they tackle better. But what they're doing is they were getting after the quarterback last year. They weren't getting turnovers.
Right.
So they were getting there. Teams were attacking the blitz, and they were taking advantage of the Cowboys. But now Cowboys are opportunistic, which it takes some luck to get
these
turnovers.
And that turnover margin is everything.
Got to keep that going.
Yep.
It's a big deal.
All right, guys, let's talk about the NFL MVP. Who is your favorite? Let's keep this one shorter. We've talked a lot about these players already as our contenders and pretenders. So let's just put them out there. My front runner is Josh Allen. I think he's just going to keep it going.
Okay. I actually have Dak Prescott. So no doubt he's the MVP of the Dallas Cowboys right now. It was about a handful of names in the hat about a month ago. Since then, Kyler Murray got hurt. Lamar Jackson is coming off an awful showing versus Miami. Tom Brady is coming off, you know, a couple bad performances. And then Matt Stafford has been inconsistent the last month. So there was no one else to go with. Maybe Derrick Henry, but he's hurt. So
that dark horse. My dark horse. Well, I'll wait. We're going to do dark horse after this. So.
Oh, I'm going to say the MVP is going to come out of the NFC. And it's really going to come down to Tom Brady and Dak Prescott. Even though Brady, you know, he's 1,000 years old, he's had a couple bad performances, he's still pacing over 5,000 yards passing. Dak, obviously, in we've conversated about this. I've always felt like Dak is similar to Tom Brady in a lot of ways in terms of play style. Obviously, he has the injury from a year ago, that comeback player of the year, that's going to help propel him if he continues to keep winning. So those are my two top guys.
Like it.
All right, dark horses. Mine, as obviously goes with my dark horse Super Bowl pick, Jonathan Taylor. You know, I always like to throw the number one back in there. They don't get no love. Like to
show the running back some love. You do.
I do, man. It's a lost art.
Huh.
Dark horse. Man, you know, dark horse, since it's a dark horse, I'm going to go Patrick Mahomes. If Kansas City can, if they can run off, what, 10 in a row and not lose a game for the rest of the season.
He tosses three a game at least.
Yeah, I think the narrative flips around again. Dark horse here, so.
I'll go with Pat Mahomes as well. I think that that's a good call.
Well, his mama about to be calling you because she named him Patrick.
That's true. And she does get, and I do apologize. It is Patrick. You remembered that. That's awesome.
All right, y'all. Offensive and defensive rookies of the year. I think this one has gotten a little murky over the last couple weeks because our obvious choice is on everyone's head. So we don't even need to say it, really. Jamar Chase and Najee Harris.
But oh, no, my
a new player has entered the realm, because if you start off 2-4 as a rookie and return the Patriots to the playoffs, Mac Jones is the rookie of the year, hands down.
Yep.
Damn, I didn't even think about Mac Jones. My bad, Mac Jones.
Well, because the stats aren't there. Honestly, I get it. Like, the stats aren't there. Like, the efficiency numbers are there on third down and what he's turning into. And we'll see at the end of the year where the stats are. But the fact is, if you start 2-4 as a rookie and then make the playoffs in Tom Brady's shadow,
he's impacting that team in a positive way. He's probably the most valuable player for that team. I mean,
that throw that he made last weekend where he split the two defenders in the end zone, put the ball just high enough for the receiver to get it. That was a Tom Brady-esque throw. That was one of the best throws I've seen all year.
It was a good throw. It was a greater catch by Kendrick Bourne, but it was a good throw.
It was good ball placement.
Put it
Jones
where he
isn't.
Had to.
Jones isn't a strong arm guy. We've had that conversation, but he knows he's an anticipatory.
He's Chad Pennington.
Hey, look, I want to throw it out there. He is my front runner for rookie of the year right now. It is. He's followed by Jamar Chase and Najee Harris. And then the Chargers offensive tackle, Rashawn Slater. Mac Jones, he's graded out as the best QB this past week, according to PFF. No rookie since 2006 is graded out higher than Mac Jones through the first 10 weeks of an NFL season, by the way. He is also the fifth highest graded quarterback this season. So hats off to Josh McDaniel for his ability to put Jones in the best possible position to be successful. And that's why he's
the assistant coach of the year. Josh McDaniels has done a hell of a job there in New England this year.
Yeah,
I'll give him that. You got to give credit where credit is due. We've pretty much touched on everybody. I didn't have Mac Jones in my list, but I'll just throw a name out there, who rookie that I think is having an incredible year. Kyle Pitts. Tight end can be a tough position for players to adjust. And
people
we're not
expected
surprised
more.
Here.
Yeah, people expected more. But like you said before the season, CJ, he was the greatest tight end prospect of all time, so they expect more. Tight ends never perform that rookie year. And we're actually seeing him do it.
People kind of came off of him because Kyle Pitts did struggle early in the season to produce. Within the last few weeks, the last month of the season, he has given us more. He's given us what we expected.
So. And while Ridley takes his mental sabbatical, he is turning into this offense's number one target.
Yeah. Do you think Calvin Ridley's still getting a check?
Yeah.
Mental health, can I take check. 2 weeks and still get a check from 5-2 Sports?
Depends on the company.
5-2 Sports.
Nah.
We define print, boy.
If I can't afford therapy, you can't either, bro. Defense rookie of the year. I mean, I agree with CJ's note, so I'll let you say it.
Yeah, I mean, it's unanimous. It's Michael Parsons. I don't think it's even close.
Freakiest athletes I've ever seen.
Yo, Michael Parsons is having such a great season. He should probably be on the All-Pro team. Like, honestly.
Oh, he is. He will be.
Okay. And then my runner-up for Defensive Rookie of the Year would be Asante Samuel Jr. I think he's playing incredible in L.A. right now.
I've got Micah first, and you know, Parsons, I graded him out during the NFL draft process as the top linebacker prospect, an instant impact player at the NFL level. Yeah. He's obviously lived up to that billing so far. He has a top 15 PFF defensive grade as a rookie through 10 weeks. He has 7 total sacks and leads the NFL in QB hurries. And I was going to get to this during the game review, but the way that they were utilizing him without Randy Gregory this past weekend, and I know you've seen this, CJ, lining him up on the edge, lining him up at linebacker. He was all over the place. He's getting after the quarterback, and they're blitzing him from everywhere.
Swiss Army knife.
A little, I mean, he's like Lawrence Taylor mixed with Von Miller when Von Miller first got to the league.
That is a very insane combo.
Yeah, I mean.
Nah, but it's right, absolutely though. Crazy. Because he has the off-the-ball linebacker skills like a Bron Urlacher, right? But then when he comes off the edge, he's bearing down on you. I mean, think about it. He leads the NFL in hurries, and he doesn't even rush the passer full time.
Yeah, from the linebacker position, by the way.
Okay, all right. Thank you. Thanks for that. Okay.
I wanted to point that out.
It's still impressive.
It's still insane.
Yeah, it is. For a rookie, nonetheless.
For a rookie.
And he should be credited for some of the turnovers, too. I'm sure if we're watching every game or you're watching every game, I'm sure he's getting in the QB's face and forcing turnovers, too, that he doesn't get credit for.
He's the heart and soul of that defense, for sure.
Coach of the year, guys. We got candidates like Cliff Kingsbury, Sean Payton.
Shoot.
I mean, then the obvious one, our boy Mike Vrabel in Tennessee, who y'all not big fans of. I've been big on the Vrabel. Then also, I mean, another candidate, if he holds the ship here and gets them to the playoffs after waving this midseason, I could see the Raiders interim coach, too, getting some votes here.
Well, I actually had John Gruden as my coach of the year. And then apparently for like rules and compliance purposes, I wasn't able to say him. Don't really understand why yet. But I'm going to surprise you here. I'm going to go with John Harbaugh. Just with the litany of injuries that they've had on that team from, you know, training camp up until now. They're 6-3. I know they just dropped a bad game versus Miami. Mike Vrabel's a good one. I think John Harbaugh gets overlooked sometimes at, you know, just what he does on a year-to-year basis. And this year is no exception. You know, he's doing way more with less than he probably has since he's been in Baltimore, just with the injuries and whatnot. So I'm going to go John Harbaugh.
Yeah, it's Vrabel's. I think right now it's Vrabel's award to lose.
Yeah.
Yeah, at this point. I mean, the Titans basically, I mean, is there a team that you can look at and say, okay, that team really, you know, is what their head coach is, right? You know, that team through and through is what Mike Vrabel is, a defensive-minded, tough football coach. And hats off to what he's been able to do.
Yeah.
And now let's talk about Bill Bell.
Bill Bell, okay. Who's like, another candidate for me?
He's there. Like, it's pretty insane he's at 6-4 right now. They won 4 in a row. He's got a rookie starting quarterback. He's turned the defense around again, traded away the best corner in the NFL, arguably, and still one of the best defenses in the NFL. Made a bold statement signing Matthew Judon, who's having a career year, which I think that is an excellent sign of coaching, is spotting a talent that is fit for your defense specifically, that it's been utilized the incorrect way, and then bringing them in and exploiting that skill set. That is just a masterful.
Well, remember, he is the architect of Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
It goes that far back, guys.
That's crazy. That's
crazy. Bill Parcells coach, yeah. Giants team, right? It's crazy.
Yeah. So who you, I personally, if the Tennessee can hold on to this division title, I think it's Vrabel's. Like, you lost the centerpiece to your offense and you're still winning.
Yeah. You're doing more with less, and you don't have Julio right now. So
mm-hmm. I agree. So look, so we did leave
defensive.
Yeah, we lost defense, and I just realized that we didn't.
We
have
can throw it out there. Who's the?
I don't. Miles Garrett is having an incredible season, but
the team is faltering on defense.
Exactly.
I've got one. You guys want mine first?
Yeah.
Go.
Max Crosby. If the Raiders make the playoffs, I've got Max Crosby. He's been able to. He's been a force, guys. Like, he is the heart and soul of that defense. So, I mean, he's amassed 7 sacks, and he actually leads the entire NFL with 42 total pressures
and look,
from that position.
I don't know if you guys remember me saying this. I know I specifically told my dad this, too, somewhere in some text messages. But week one, when I saw Crosby up against Baltimore, I said, hey, this guy looks like J.J. Watt.
Yeah, you're like, wait, what?
Yeah, I'm like, hey, this might be a decent bet to make right now for defensive player of the year. So that's a good call. He's had a phenomenal year so far.
Yeah. I'm gonna take if he continues this like he's has the past few weeks, Matthew Judon is a dark horse.
Yeah, as well,
like he's really carrying that New England defense now. T.J. Watt, I think he's the front runner right now, but he did get injured last week, so I'm waiting to hear what's going on with that injury.
Yeah, but I would probably go with T.J. Watt right now.
T.J. Watt's a machine right now.
Yeah, he's a machine. I think he's the one defensive end. He's the only defensive end.
He's the one defensive end that's good at coverage.
Well, it's just when you watch Pittsburgh play this year, T.J. Watt has wreaked havoc. Like,
every play. Seems like he's involved in everything.
He takes the perfect angle every play.
And, you know, whether it's forced fumbles, I saw him tip a couple of passes of Justin Fields a couple of weeks ago on some big important downs. And it's like, man, this guy is everywhere. Yeah. Pittsburgh, they have a winning record. That defense is on the positive side of things. So I'm going to go TJ Watt.
We're going to fly through these NFL games, guys. Baltimore Ravens, Miami Dolphins, most surprising game of the week, probably. But like I said, I picked the Dolphins to cover here. Thursday night football, shorter week. I knew it was going to be closer than we imagined. 7.5 is a big spread for a Thursday night game. Any surprises here?
Yeah.
I was shocked.
This one, yeah, this one for sure, right? They
just
got
had,
after Lamar.
Had trap game written all over it.
Yeah, and this is one of the reasons why I bailed on Thursday night with Lamar. Traded him in fantasy for Patrick Mahomes because I'm scared of Thursday night football in general. I'm tired of it. I've had several players playing Thursday night games that have, you know, failed me this year. But yeah, they got after Jackson, sacked him 4 times. The pressure just kept getting home. It wasn't really, when I was watching, I remember seeing Miami lining up and trying to cover a lot deep, keeping things underneath. But it really was more of them bringing the safety into the box, and it was Javon Holland. What's the other safety's name? It's leaving my mind. Brandon Jones. Yeah. They were bringing those guys on an incredible amount of safety blitzes. Per Next Gen Stats, they aligned their safeties all over the field, by the way, but 40% of the time they had a safety in the box. Holland was blitzed 21 times. Wow. And Jones blitzed 17 times. That's the most DB blitzes in a single game in the Next Gen Stats era. So
yeah. And Javon Holland had an incredible game Thursday night too.
Yeah. So that's, if you're wondering why they lost.
Buffalo Bills destroyed the New York Jets 45-17. Mike White is who I thought he was. Any thoughts?
Man, leave my guy Mike alone.
I mean, come on, y'all. The hype was crazy. Like, the hype was insane.
I mean, look, this is what the Bills do. The Bills beat up on the bad
teams. Except for the Jaguars.
They beat up on the bad teams. And, I mean, I don't know. This game really didn't show us anything. Josh Allen had a good game. Stephon Diggs had his best game of the year.
Yeah, Stephon Diggs needed this one.
Yeah.
All right, let's keep it moving. Lions and Steelers. Tie.
Next.
No, we got to talk about it a little bit.
Hey, look. I didn't watch this entire game, but I watched the entire last 3 minutes plus the overtime.
Bro, Red Zone showed so much of this game for some reason.
Look,
yeah.
Whenever we hear the saying, no one deserved to win, a lot of times that's just BS. More times than not, someone deserves to win. This game right here, no one deserves to win. It was awful.
The craziest part was, I said this in our group chat. This literally, people paid like $3,000 a piece for like front row tickets to this, right? Like the first level tickets on the 50-yard line. It started raining in the first quarter. They sat through 3 quarters of turnover filled, the sloppiest football you've ever seen. Nobody scoring, field goal missing, fumbling. Then for it to go full overtime, 2 turnovers in overtime and tie?
Yeah. It was comical. It was comical. This game was comical.
You wanted your refund. The game ended the way it started. Yeah.
Nothing happened.
Yeah. That's real. And you lost. You may have lost TJ Watt in the middle of all that mess. Yeah.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Washington football team. Tampa Bay, we will be looking out for TJ Watt updates throughout the day. That is big for Pittsburgh going into the end of the year. But Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Washington football team, probably the most second surprise in last week. This is two in a row for Tampa Tom. Not playing well. Missing his boy Antonio Brown and Rob Gronkowski, like you said, CJ.
Yeah. Look, Tampa just didn't play well, and especially that defense. That defense was on the field for a long time. Washington, and that's the alarming part for Tampa Bay. They have to figure that defense out because Washington football team, they don't have a high-powered offense, but the Washington football team put some drives together Sunday. Like
eight, nine, 10-minute drives,
keeping Tampa Bay on the sideline was huge.
Terry looked pretty scary catching that pass on the final drive.
Yeah, he did.
Like when he got up and just flexed after he got rocked. Like that was.
Yeah,
that was
I think.
All right.
He was feeling it. He was feeling it. He was feeling it both ways. He felt the pain, but he felt the nostalgia of holy crap, I got the first down, so I feel good about that. So I'll worry about that car accident I was just in later. But yeah, the Bucs 39 minutes time of possession to Tampa Bay's 20 minutes. The goal is to keep the ball out of Tom Brady's hands. That's what the Washington football team did. That final drive was over 10 minutes in the fourth quarter, left Brady with no time at all, pretty much. And they were down two scores by the time that drive was all said and done. Another key factor to pay attention to, the Bucs may have lost Vita Vea for the entire year or maybe up. I don't know what the injury is.
Huge.
Right. I remember in the game he went down. I have not confirmed that yet, what's going on with that. But the other issue, you pointed it out, Woody, the Bucs secondary.
Yeah.
A massive problem.
Shambles.
Vita Vea is diagnosed with a bone bruise and a slight MCL sprain.
Okay. Okay. That's actually
good news. It's not as bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tampa Bay could not get off the field on third down. That defense could not get off the field on third down. I think Washington converted, I want to say, 11 or 12 of 19 third down attempts. So, I mean, that's alarming. That's a... Between third down conversion rates, offense and defense, and takeaways, those are two of probably your four or five most important statistics when we're deciphering, okay, who's real, who's not.
Yep. Yeah, they went 11 of 19, 58%, plus 2 for 2 on fourth down. So.
Jesus.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Atlanta Falcons, Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys just absolutely... The Falcons are kind of due for one of these, like every 5 weeks or so. Like Matt Ryan, his bones just are a little too rickety for that game, and they just can't do nothing.
Well, you know, Atlanta had came into this game hot. They won 3 out of their last 4. In my mind, they were still probably one of the worst 4-4 teams in the NFL. I think this kind of showed it here, obviously, with Calvin Ridley not being there. And you know, that offense has some weapons, but it lacks some things. You don't have a strong running game. You got to use Cordell Patterson as a chess piece there. We haven't said that for 7 years since he's been in the league. So, I mean, Dallas did what they were supposed to. I will say this. I put a dollar on Dallas being the highest scoring team, and I thought I had it. I was excited all day, all day. And then the Patriots score... come across the bottom, and I'm like 44 points
of all the teams,
and that wasn't even the highest score. The Bills scored 45.
Oh well, darn, damn, damn,
whoops. It's a good call though.
CJ,
don't like me.
I got a name game for you with the Dallas Cowboys, real quick. Keenan Allen or CD Lamb?
Oh, give me CD Lamb.
What is that? What is the idea here? Like comparison?
Stephon Diggs. No. Who would you rather have? Stephon Diggs or CeeDee Lamb?
Ooh.
Stephon Diggs is a better player right now. So Stephon Diggs.
Give me CeeDee Lamb. Give me CeeDee Lamb.
The bias in me wants to say CeeDee Lamb.
Give me CeeDee Lamb next year.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good one.
Give me CeeDee Lamb with about 12 more pounds on him.
Justin Jefferson or CeeDee Lamb?
CeeDee Lamb.
I like Lamb.
Ooh, yeah. Justin Jefferson's good, but
no, he is. I think they do the same thing well. CeeDee Lamb is more quick twitch than Jefferson, though. They're now, both good at after the catch and stuff.
For our listeners, right before the deadline, on the day before the deadline, I slid the Cowboy King himself an offer of CeeDee Lamb and Devontae Smith for Devontae Adams. You regret it after Sunday.
Oh, no, not at all. Because you that sure? wasn't even the whole deal. It was some.
I asked for Cole Beasley. You throwing Cole Beasley.
It was some kook.
No, that was it. Devontae Adams and Cole Beasley. For Devontae Smith and CeeDee
like,
Lamb.
Like, whoa, you want my Hunter Renfro? I mean,
you know, yeah, look,
you want my white guy?
Look, I always perk up a little bit. Not in a good way when people try to trade me players on my favorite team. Ooh, like, you try to trade me players on my favorite team, and yep. I'm going to find every reason not to accept the trade because I know what you're doing.
I know you do, but I just figured maybe. Like, I was like, you want him the Super Bowl run? I know you want him for the Super Bowl.
Hey, I'm thankful you didn't make that trade because I face CJ this week. Me too. I don't want to deal with CeeDee Lamb again.
I'm really glad you didn't accept it because of Devontae
you know
Smith.
What?
I think he's starting to kick up.
The trade deadline over. Because I was about to say, hey, send that trade again because unfortunately, I have to face Patrick Mahomes twice this year.
Devontae Smith, bro, I'm good.
That's all right.
He's looking like he might be a league winner. We'll see. New Orleans Saints, Tennessee Titans. This game was boring. The Saints just played ugly in this one. Mark Ingram had a resurgence.
Yeah, he
hadn't seen him that good in 2 years.
Running around, catching passes out of the backfield, just looking not quite like the Mark Ingram that we've seen of recent. So yeah, I like it.
He's like it was like a Mark Ingram supplementary plan or something. Like it was kind of him, but it kind of wasn't. I mean, look, Alvin Kamara didn't play this game.
Well, the craziest story of this game was Marcus Johnson, who coming into the game had 3 catches for 60 yards, and he left the game with 9 receptions for 160 yards.
I still don't know who he is.
Same.
Yeah, he was somebody in camp that they were really high on. So
yeah, that's
here
this,
he is.
This game was a bit controversial. There was some missed calls. There was a very bad call at right before the end of the second quarter. You know, both teams' fault. I feel like the outcome was what we expected. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I thought that Saints maybe could steal it because they were missing Julio, but whatever.
Because we don't feel like Tennessee is
that
good.
Exactly.
Even though the proof says
they just
otherwise.
Keep winning.
Yeah.
Just keep winning.
Hey, Trevor Siemian. He keeps playing well, so we'll see.
Jack, it's crazy that after all that Taysom Hill hype, Trevor Siemian is a quarterback. That just blows my mind. Jacksonville Jaguars and Indianapolis Colts. Colts started off this one on fire. They dropped 17 in the first quarter. Then they only scored 6 more points the rest of the game. They just kind of held off Jacksonville here. Taylor, he started getting hit at the line. I thought they just held off. They just kind of pulled back off the gas.
No, see, I don't think you don't pull back in the NFL. I mean, yeah, you run the ball, you try to milk the clock. But
James Taylor's had a lot of work the past few weeks.
But look, I think this game was close. I touched on it earlier. Carson Wentz being inconsistent. So, okay, cool. Who's the leader of your offense? Your quarterback. All right, so they start off in the first quarter. They get up to 17 points, and then for the rest of the game, they weren't up to snuff. All right, the first person I look at is the quarterback. I look at Carson Wentz.
Yeah, that's real. Cleveland Browns and New England Patriots. This one was a surprise. I thought Cleveland was going to contend in this one, and they did not. That's probably my worst call of the week. They got destroyed.
This was probably my best call. I didn't think it would be like this.
I didn't think it'd be a blowout.
On last week's episode, I said that Bill B and McDaniels would have a game plan and that they weren't gonna let Myles Garrett blow up the game. And Myles Garrett had zero impact on the game.
Zero. Ramondre Stevenson, on the other hand, had a lot of impact on the game.
He did. And look, this Cleveland defense is up and down. We talked about that last week, right? Like, what's going on with this Cleveland defense? 1 week they play really good.
Starts with leadership.
And then next week you give up 44 points to a rookie quarterback.
Well, it hurts when you have a quarterback playing with half his body like he had a stroke, and he's already bad before that. So.
And he's probably going to play this week.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm out on Baker, man. I keep saying it every week. I want everyone to know. I'm out. They signed him. It's a waste of money.
We already talked about Mac Jones. Just want to throw it out there one more time. I mean, in the draft, how many teams, we have to look at how many teams passed on this guy, could have had him as your rookie starter right now. Now, maybe he doesn't do as much with another team. Maybe it is the system in New England. I believe it's part of that, but we have to consider that factor. He made it as far as he did.
No, yeah, that's a great point. I think Mac Jones fell to 15th, and we all talked about it because he didn't have the ceiling that a lot of these other guys had. He didn't have the arm talent that a lot of these other guys had. But Brandon, as you were the first one to say it, and then it seems like, you know, everyone else ran with it. But you said, hey, Mac Jones is the most pro-ready quarterback right now. He can pick up a system. He can get the ball to where he needs to get it, and he can manage a game. And you were spot on with that.
Let's talk about Ramondre Stevenson real quick. He showed a lot of potential in the preseason, and then this week he just came out and put it all on the floor. He carried the Patriots to the win, 100 yards, 2 TDs. And let me tell you about fantasy pain, y'all. You want fantasy pain? I saw the potential on the wall last week. I said, oh, Ramondre might take over this backfield. He's looking strong. He's looking like a number one, someone you see run the ball in the playoffs. But, you know, I just want to keep this New Orleans Saints defense, so let me cut Ramondre Stevenson the week he gets 100 yards, 2 touchdowns. Man. Oh, my man. God!
The rich get richer.
Stings a little bit.
Oh, it hurts!
1,000 paper cuts, and it's like dipping yourself in a bath of lemon juice.
Oh, dude, it hurts so bad.
I might do that later
I'm going to put all my fab down, but there's still some people who got a lot left, so we'll see. Does Ramondre Stevenson take over this backfield?
No, I think he can. It's going to be a committee.
It'll be a committee, but I think he starts to take a little more.
Well, Damian Harris has opened the door for him a bit because Damian Harris has fumbled quite a few times, right? So has Ramondre, except, you know, when a rookie does it, you kind of expect it. When a player in his third year do it, when you told him that, hey, you can't do this, I'm sure Bill B gets a little pissed off.
Yeah, for real. Minnesota Vikings, Los Angeles Chargers. Guys, I have a theory for you here. I want to know how you feel about it. The Vikings beat the Chargers in this one 27-20, and the Los Angeles Chargers are the Minnesota Vikings of the AFC. They're just that middle-of-the-road team that you want to see them take the next step, but I don't know if they're going to take the next step.
They're trending that way. What's their record right now? Because they started the season 4-1. Are they 4-5 now? 5-4? Okay.
They're still in it somehow with that run defense. This also puts Dalvin Cook. Like, I'm wondering, what's going on with Dalvin Cook? Like, the Chargers have had a terrible run defense. 24 carries, 94 yards. Like, he got the job done, got a touchdown. Got some key first downs, but is this Dalvin Cook's last?
Well, you know, he got personal issues going on. Remember all that stuff from last week. Yeah. But it's not even about that. It's that offensive line. That offensive line in Minnesota hasn't played as well as it has in the past, I think. I think that's the biggest thing. Minnesota hasn't seemed to be able to run the ball as well as they have in past years.
Yeah. No, that's true. I see that. Justin Jefferson, huge game, 9 catches, 143 yards. Love to see him get more involved in that offense. He is the number one wide receiver in that offense now. No matter, Thielen would be making opportunistic plays, but Justin Jefferson definitely number one.
There you go.
Are the Vikings still in it? Can they make a run? Kirk started off this game in Kirk fashion. Open drive, ball stripped, thought it was going to be a long day. Turn it around.
Can they make a run? I mean, they can.
Let's look at their schedule.
Their schedule is they got 2 games against the Packers. They got the Rams and the Steelers.
That's 3 out of 4.
They're only a spot out, though. They're only 1 spot out of that last wild card spot. So,
and then they have the Lions, Bears, and 49ers would be the easiest terms of strength of schedule left. So
I'm going to say yes, Minnesota has a chance because in front of them right now, you have the New Orleans Saints, who – they don't have the starting quarterback for the remainder of the season. And then you have the Carolina Panthers, who they also do not have their starting quarterback for the rest of the season.
I don't think they ever did.
Well, they didn't. But as far as week one started, no, I feel you. We've been on Sammy.
They have their true QB1. All right. He's happening this week.
How do you feel about Sam Darnold?
He's done.
He's done. Okay. He's dead to him.
At least for this season, he's done.
You don't even want to say it with his chest.
I don't. Hey, look, man, I feel like Cam Newton's going to come in there He's going to turn it around.
Listen, one of the greatest sound bites ever. Carolina Panthers destroyed the Arizona Cardinals in this one, as they should have with Colt McCoy starting. They got the backup out the game, got the next dude in. And Cam Newton comes in at the goal line. Nice little rush, TD. I'm back.
Yeah, awesome.
It was great. I love it.
Look, Cam Newton is so corny. Number one,
he is. But you see that outfit he showed up in as a backup.
I don't know why. Look, I just love Cam so much.
Me too.
And look, obviously Cowboys are my squad. But if the Cowboys don't win it, I'm rooting for a Carolina led a Cam Newton.
Yeah. You know, I love a comeback story. That's for sure, man. Dang. It's like,
don't call it a comeback. Nevertheless,
it'd be awesome.
It's a hell of a comeback.
Yeah. Are we surprised by this game?
Yeah.
What is the odds on Cam leading Carolina to that wild card spot? I picked Carolina to get a wild card spot this year preseason. If he can help me out.
I think it's realistic, man.
I think it's realistic. It's not odds that I necessarily like, though, because you got San Fran at 4-5. You know what I'm saying? You got Minnesota at 4-5.
Here's their schedule when you're ready.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're good.
They've got two games against Tampa. They've got Buffalo. They have the Saints. Then they have the Dolphins, Washington football team, and the Falcons. So.
They're going to have to steal, too.
It's out of tough.
All those teams you named, it's probably two or three games that they should definitely win, but it's some games in there that they're going to have to steal. Yeah.
Christian McCaffrey looking like Christian McCaffrey again, though. 13 carries, 95 yards, 10 receptions, 66 yards. He also got tackled on the goal line by three dudes, so he almost had a touchdown.
Did you see the smile on his face when Cam Newton put his arm around him?
He
looks pretty happy, too. That
pretty damn happy. He's like, he knows who to check it down to.
Thank you for replacing Blockhead, man.
Right.
All right, let's look at the next game. The Philadelphia Eagles over the Denver Broncos. This was an interesting game. I watched a good amount of this game. Jalen Hurts is getting better at making decisions on the football field. He is. I'm going to go out there and say that. He started off doing some, what the hell is he doing earlier on the year? And now it's like, what's he doing? I dropped the hell. Just what's he doing?
You know, I think so. The biggest thing about Jalen Hurts, when you look at his numbers early in the season, even up until prior to the Week 10 games, you look at his stats and you say, okay, his stats are pretty good. My problem was that majority of his stats were garbage time stats. It was Philadelphia playing from behind versus a prevent defense and Jalen Hurts patting his stats. But as of late, he has been able to put up good stats and move the ball, move that offense down the field. So they're not empty stats. So he's definitely improving.
One thing that was missed from this game, the Broncos were up 24. No, the Broncos were up in this game. And then Hurts threw a dime to Quez Watkins, like a 40-yard dime, perfect arch over two defenders, just right in the breadbasket. And he just dropped it in the end zone. Like, it was just a wide-open drop. So and he should have had a third long touchdown here.
Philly has been able to run the ball as of late, too, which has been huge. They've been really good at running the ball the last month or so of the season.
Yeah.
Broncos, obviously, pretenders. Just Teddy Bridgewater just once you fall behind.
Could have had Mac. Could have had Mac Jones.
Could have had Mac. They could have had Justin Fields.
Yeah, either one of them.
Devontae Smith. Is he going to – like, I just got him fantasy, obviously, so I'm asking y'all because obviously I'm hopeful here. Could he be a league winner? Could he be someone to target?
In fantasy.
Yeah. Like, maybe. He's had three touchdowns in 2 weeks, and Hurts is starting to throw the ball with authority.
Yeah, if he could be. I'm not surprised by how he's playing right now.
He got that big ass brace on his elbow, which I instantly noticed because I wore that same brace.
Ooh.
Yeah. So when I saw that, I'm like, huh. So my senior year in high school, I basically went for a stiff arm. I wanted to stop my fall, and I bruised my ulna bone in my elbow, so I couldn't extend it like right? So the brace that he has on doesn't allow him to fully extend it. It protects his elbow, right? He's probably in some pain. It's probably something he can play through. But
he's gonna have to get used to it. He's small.
And that was the first thing that popped in my head was, well, you know, I was 155 pounds in high school. This man, 175 pounds, soaking wet in the NFL. You know, it's
that makes sense.
He has to stay healthy. He has to put some weight on. But Devontae Smith is a good player. To put 20 pounds on.
He struggles to gain weight. Like, it would have to be, like, manufactured weight. Like, butt implants.
That's a good start. Would help this man. Like, give this man some steroids.
Yeah, he needs something. But I think he'll be all right.
Seattle Seahawks, Green Bay Packers. The Seahawks had a rough one in this one. Russell Wilson came back from injury. I think it was a fluke. I think he was rusty. Like, we've seen Aaron Rodgers when he came back this year. I don't think this is what Russ is going to look like at the end of the year. But
you hope
he looked better next week against Arizona. I need him too. We'll see.
I'm dropping one of those star players you got and getting a quarterback on the bench just in case.
I have Carson Wentz on the bench. Thank you.
Yeah, he's trying to bamboozle you. Everything worked against Russell Wilson here. They probably should have set him out for another week, perhaps. Probably couldn't afford to. Obviously, they're, 3-6 right now, so they need every win that they can get. But between the cold weather, Russell Wilson coming back from a finger injury on his throwing hand, in the cold, started snowing, it was just everything against Russell Wilson in Seattle. The better team won here for sure. And as I said earlier in the show, the most impressive thing about this game was just that Green Bay defense. It's been playing lights out lately.
Huh. Yeah, that secondary you're talking about. See, tell us more. You were all over this early in the year. Green Bay's rookie cornerback, Stokes.
Right? Yeah, Eric Stokes. Yeah. So Eric Stokes, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he ran the fastest 40 time this past spring during all the combines and the pro days and whatnot. Didn't know a lot about him coming out of Georgia. I know he was a good man corner. He has good size. But earlier in the year, I saw him, the first few weeks of the season, and just his ability to always be in the receiver's hip pocket impressed me. Now, I think the step that a lot of defensive backs have to learn that differs in the NFL than in college is just because you're there doesn't mean anything. In college, if you're there, if you're in that receiver's hip, it's probably an incomplete pass. You can probably get a hand on it. But in the NFL, the room for error is so slim. I've seen Eric Stokes get his hands on a number of balls that at the college level would have been pass breakups. But, he battles. He battles. He's a competitor. And he's a good man corner. I think he's going to be one of the better corners in the league sooner than later.
Now, guys, I got a theory for you on this one. This is going to be my last theory of the podcast. And I want your opinion on this. See, I know you always give me crap because I be reading between the lines. I love a good story. Love the storyline. But I got a theory here. I'm a little worried about DK Metcalf. After his success last year, and he started becoming a superstar. Now, I'm going to sound very, get off my lawn here for a second.
The listeners don't know this side of me, but I do.
Don't stop. He had his all-pro season. Then came the blue hair. Then comes the story of him having orgies with four women in his room and telling some other girl to go home after driving to see him.
Man, you need to be a beat report. I don't even know about that story.
I sent you that article. You just never listened to me.
Oh, shit. Sorry.
And the girl that was driving to his house made a 15-minute long story where it made her look terrible. I don't know why she put it, but she was just angry because he had her drive 5 hours to his home. And 4 hours into the drive, he calls her and says, "Hey, I'm having a f***ing right now, and I don't think I got room for another." And told her to go home.
Wow.
So this man's on next level feeling himself. And
that's valid.
On the game on Sunday, he's out there talking smack with the corners, and he's bigger than most corners. This is the first warning sign for Diva wide receiver where it becomes an incident. And they end up out of town, and they don't get
resigned. Here we go with the Diva wide receiver. This is some get off my line type ish, right?
All right.
I'm... Nah, I don't buy it. You're just trying to get me to trade him in the other league we're in.
That's exactly what you're trying to do.
I feel like he's got an angle.
Just know I said it first.
Woody, I don't disagree with some of your synopsis there. DK, has he kind of, does it seem like some stuff has went to his head?
The whole Shannon Sharpe thing too?
The whole Shannon Sharpe thing. And then Pete Carroll has been on record several times this year. Like, hey, DK, just play football. Just be you, because that's what you do. You're not a talker. You just shut up and play football.
When you start great yanking face masks, you become a target in the league too. Because you're a big dude already. You can get hit over the middle.
He'll be all right. Yeah.
Hey, Rashawn.
DK too worried.
Rashawn Gary avoided a major injury. I guess he hyperextended his elbow. Whitney Mercilus, likely done for the year. They already, what is it? Za'Darius Smith is already out. So they're thin on the edge.
Yeah.
Keep an eye on that for this Packers defense. You know, they are good, but
you got to be healthy. The best ability is availability.
Kansas City Chiefs, Las Vegas Raiders. This game, welcome back, Patrick Mahomes. He needed it. Woo! We thought he was broken. Everyone's favorite toy was broken, and they were getting angry.
Yeah. The deep ball is still broken. He's not connecting there yet.
Except to Williams.
Lost.
That one, yeah. But, I mean, down the field, guys running open. He's just a little long on those throws. He still needs to work that out. But other than that, dominant.
Yeah. It's really nothing to say about this game. 41-14. I mean, Kansas City was dominant. And they actually did what we expect Kansas City to do this. I mean, Now, before this game, we didn't expect Kansas City to do this, but relatively more times than not, we expect Kansas City to do this to a team like Vegas.
There's one play that sticks out in this game. The best, worst first play debut on a team ever was Deshaun Jackson.
Yeah. What was he doing?
Caught like a 40-yard pass and just tossed it to the defender.
He said, I'm going to run this way.
Yeah, it
just makes you go like, oh, that's why they cut him. Okay.
The trees out in Vegas a little different maybe than what it was in Southern Cali. I don't know.
The Vegas trees is desert trees.
Right.
Los Angeles Rams, San Francisco 49ers. Man, I thought McVay was going to show up for this one. I thought this was a shocker. San Fran beat down the Rams.
You know what I want to say about this game? This is really for you two. Thank you. Thank you, because y'all know I was about to put $20 on the Rams. I'm like, look, this is definitely a victory. And then Brandon, you know, the numbers nerd over here, he sends me a bunch of stuff in the group chat, crunching numbers and stuff. Like, I don't know. And then, you know, Woody hit me with some facts, too. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not betting on this game. So I put $15 on a college basketball game, and I still
lost it anyway.
Exactly. That was even dumber.
Hey, the story of this game. Shanahan wanted to run the ball 40 times. They ran the ball 44 times. In fact, the 40th rush attempt that they ran, he just had a smirk on his face at the end of the game because he knew it was. They were talking about it during the broadcast.
Yeah, Greasy had said something.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, I'm looking at him. I'm like, he knows it's the 40th rush attempt.
Yeah.
So.
All right, guys, we got a player that we got to highlight here because he is just not getting the love that he deserves. And it's time to prop him up.
Debo.
We've been waiting because everyone's just been waiting for him to get hurt because he's been hurt twice.
Right. Already.
We got to stop thinking like that because he's already got more receiving yards than Jerry Rice has ever had through 9 games as a San Francisco 49ers.
And they're lining him up at running back.
He's
not just a dude who catches the ball at the line of scrimmage. He's catch it in traffic.
He's averaging 9 yards after the catch.
Yeah,
9 yards after the catch. That's 3 yards more than A.J. Brown, who's second. A.J. Brown's missed about half the season.
I'm a Deebo Samuel fan. I'm still reserving everything because, I mean, look, do y'all think he's going to play 17 games this year?
Hell no. Odell Beckham Jr., I liked what I saw. He had one good comeback.
Especially
catch
that first
outside.
One. That first
and
then, throw.
But what I liked what I saw, he was hitting some blocks on the outside.
No, I mean that deep on that one.
Yeah, that good comeback. Route on the comeback run with Henderson. He was the lead blocker on the outside. He did good.
Yeah, I like what they were doing with him. It's going to take a week or two to get him going.
Cooper Kupp still on a historic pace. I don't know what he's doing this year. It's going to be insane if he stays healthy. Like, we've never seen numbers like this from someone.
I expect him to be suspended the first 4 weeks of next season.
Yeah, you
for
think
for
so?
PEDs.
Yeah,
PEDs.
I'm wondering now, man. It's pretty insane. I'm not. Like, this is some, his pace is insane right now. I think he's over 1,000 yards, isn't he?
Yeah. I believe he is.
This is Cooper Kupp through
You got 10 pulled
games.
Out.
He's 85 receptions, 1,140 yards, and 10
touchdowns.
Okay,
yeah. He's well over 1,000.
10 games.
Yeah.
That's insane.
He might break the record.
Yeah. That's what? Like, what?
Which kind of doesn't sit well with me, to be honest.
Oh, yeah? Why is that?
Oh, because I feel like that record should be reserved for more talented receivers.
Yeah, more talented receivers.
I think Cooper Kupp is uber talented. I mean, look, when you think about guys that are at the top of that list, Calvin Johnson, I mean, Julio Jones, Jerry Rice, you know.
And then
what
at
I'm
the
saying?
Tippy top will be Cooper Kupp.
I love this show. I thought we covered a lot here. It's gonna be a hell of an ending, guys. We got 7 games left in the season. I can't wait. This is a great NFL season. There's so much parity. Everything's so close. I love it. As always, check out Football Scout 365. The draft coverage is coming. Get ready for these rookies. This is how you get ahead in fantasy drafts, especially in dynasty drafts that happen right after the draft. Start checking out Brandon's content. We're going to be talking about it more over here. We're going to start doing some draft coverage towards the end of the season. As always, check out our site at the number 5toolsportspodcast.com. Check out the NBA show. It's me and Coach Melvin Taylor. We broke down the Western Conference, and we broke down the Eastern Conference. Each show is like an hour and a half. It's a little long, but we went through every single team, every single roster. Broke down the stories of the NBA for you. Now, this coming show this week, it's just going to be 45 minutes. We're going to be talking about what's going on in the NBA. It's going to be more topical. We just wanted to make sure we covered our bases. So check it out.
Got two episodes it's really out. Good. It's really good back and forth. Thank you. The conversation, it's in depth. The basketball knowledge, you can tell both you guys.
Coach
Melvin
Taylor.
You got a guy who coached the game, teamed up with Woody, who knows the game.
One of my best friends. And we've awesome. Been talking basketball on the phone for like 5 hours a week for 10 years.
Yeah, should have been recording.
This man consumes more NBA than anyone I've ever known. And that check it out. It's on the feed. And as always, let the music hit. Shout out M. Cash.
I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9 to 5 is something that I don't want to do. Sit in the cubicle.